bee is a brilliant bug, essential to the natural order. Plants propagate with the help of these fuzzy friends. Not just wildflowers, but all the plants we need to survive in a healthy ecosystem. But what happens when a beetle comes a-bumbling? The brown flower beetle shows us what happens when finesse is thrown out the window in the pollination game, in life, death, and taxonomy. Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of this, of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate or just hang out with us, visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website at LDTaxonomy.com.
And today we're talking about a bumbling beetle, but more on that later.
That's a pretty apt description.
Mm-hmm. He's bumbling.
We're talking about the brown flower beetle. Yeah, man. Brown flower beetle. It's also known as the bumbleflower beetle, the spotted flower chauffeur, and the bee beetle.
And what was the last one?
Chauffeur. I assume it's French. But we're going to call it the wannabe. And Fuzzy Wuzzy was a beetle.
He was a beetle. You don't think it's chaffer? Like weed from the chaff?
Chaff has two F's.
Oh.
So this looks like chauffeur. Chauffeur. I don't know. Who knows the mind of whoever decided French pronunciation rules that English inherited. Those Normans. Look what you've done. Look what you've done to my boy. All right, let's taxonomize this. It's in a kingdom you know, love, and are in. That kingdom is Animalia. The phylum is Arthropoda. It's an arthropod. The class is Insecta. The order is Coleoptera. The suborder is Polyphaga. Polyphaga.
It eats a lot of stuff.
Yes. The family is Scarabaeidae. So it's a scarab-like one. The genus is Glycifauna. And the species is Glycifauna. So it's Glycifauna. But yeah, Glycifauna. Another one of those animals where they just stopped thinking after the genus. They were just, let's just slap the genus name onto the species and go to lunch. I don't want to think about this anymore. Bison. I'm done. I'm done with this. Let me out. Let me go home to my family. So since we're in the business of naming things, it's time for my favorite part of the show and the listener's favorite part of the show, nitty-gritty nomenclature. The part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the English translation for the binomial nomenclature? In this case, I mean, we only have one word to figure out here, which is Glycifauna. So, what does Glycifauna mean? Does that mean A, sweet shining one? B, cycled animal? C, sugar beetle? or D, thorny meadow?
Sugar beetle, final answer.
I thought I'd get you with that one.
Okay.
It is incorrect. The answer is sweet, shining one. Oh, she's my sugar beetle. Yeah, it's a good name for a significant other if you're in the deep Louisiana.
Right. Shining one. Interesting.
Yeah, like well, obviously, so glissy is sweeter, sugary, and then fauna is to be shining, or a thing that shines. So
glistening, that makes sense.
No, the glissy is the sugar. Sweet. Yeah. Glycemic.
Glucose.
And then it's the fauna that means to shine or to glow.
Well, I wonder if it does.
And it's Greek. Good. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, it. Based on what it eats, maybe.
Maybe. But
based on what it eats, I guess maybe bees and wasps taste good too, and hummingbirds.
Wasps eat meat as well.
Yeah, so that can be not great. All right. Would you like to know what this guy looks like?
Sure.
This looks like a June bug that is trying to get you to eat more chicken and spelled chicken wrong.
Oh, it's cat-like. I think it looks like chocolate.
It does. This actually is a kind of tasty looking beetle, but this is kind of the cow spots. It's an oval shaped beetle with this chunky armored body. I mean, it's very much like June bug shaped. If you've ever seen those, we get them in hordes here. But yeah, they have a dark brown carapace, chocolatey brown, you could even say. With creamy white spots. Are you appetized yet? If you're Bear Grylls, you were appetized before when I said the word bug. it sometimes has squiggles that are scattered across its wing covers, but it's brown with cream spots. It is covered in fine hairs that give it this fuzzy like moth or bee like appearance. I'm sure that has nothing that's for no reason. It's just aesthetics. Serves no purpose. It has six sturdy legs. That was harder to say than I thought it was going to be. Equipped with tiny claws for hanging on to flowers. It has a broad shovel-like head with short antenna, ending in these like little cups. These little, like fan cups. I don't know how to describe this. I mean, it does look weird. It is not your normal antenna. It's, you know, these thin. It looks like a dead flower. It looks like a dead like dandelion with all the seeds blown off of it. For antenna coming off. So, imagine that.
Wow, what a picture you've painted.
There you go. It is medium sized.
Great.
For a beetle.
Okay. With Goliath beetle being the.
Yeah, Hercules large. And Goliath beetles being on the larger side, and then ladybugs being pretty low. Yeah. And so how big is it? What is. You tell us what medium means, Joe.
All right. Well, welcome to the Love Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show. The part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you, when you send in an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro this week, but that means you can hear from an animal, and Carlos has to guess what it is. Without further ado, the listeners' part of the show.
Now, what could that noise be?
What could that noise be? It's
I don't know.
There's the cry of lament. That's a different thing than what you're looking for.
The what could this noise be? That was the beetle.
No. What could this noise be? Is the question we're all asking.
Oh. I don't know. None of it sounded familiar to me, except for the voice that said, "What could this noise be?" sounded a little bit like Rabbit from Winnie the Pooh. So
okay, I will say the voice of the character who said, "What could this noise be?" That is not how I imagine his voice.
That's not how you imagine his voice.
No.
Okay, that doesn't give me any more information.
This might be one of your favorite Beatles.
One of my favorite Beatles. Is it Beatle Ringo? Character.
No, what's Ringo? Oh, Ringo's one of your favorite Beatles?
No, it was just
one of. He's definitely in the top four.
He's the drummer, right?
Yeah.
Do
you like Octopus's Garden? Because he's that says.
He's the most. If the drummer for the Beatles, in my opinion, is the most talented member of that band. When they were during their heyday, I guess.
That is no one's opinion.
Because
famously were asked, "Is Ringo a really good drummer?" And I think Paul or John said he's not even the best drummer in the Beatles.
Yeah, they also said they want to H-bomb. They want to drop a hydrogen bomb on the Philippines. So
I believe them. They did want that. They had a bad time.
They said a lot of things because they were on a lot of drugs.
Exactly.
But I don't like most of their songs. And I could play most of their songs on all of the instruments when I was in high school, but the drum parts are difficult. So I think the drummer at least shows the most talent.
If hard to play was
shows the most skill. We'll say skill instead of talent.
If showing the most skill is what is the most pleasant to listen to, I'd be listening to Chopin's etudes, but I do not, because they sound like garbage.
Yeah. So unfortunately, the Beatles check neither box. They check the box where sometimes the drummer does things that are impressive, and then the box of this is nice to listen to is never checked. So
Abbey Road is great. There's lots of good songs. You're looking for a Pokemon.
So there's
what's
lots
a Beatle Pokemon?
There's lots
that you like.
That I like. I like Heracross.
That's correct. It's Heracross.
Okay, good.
I'm not about to go delving into the bowels of Pokemon.
Ladybug? That was the appropriate response. you did the right thing.
Well, let's talk about their length. That's correct. That's Heracross. Annoying a Bulbasaur is what was that was those sounds.
The answer should be absolutely destroying a Bulbasaur with because of the type advantage.
So the adult beetles are 8 to 11 millimeters long. Heracross is, of course, the fictional Pokemon based on a Goliath beetle. But it also likes to try to drink nectar from Bulbasaur, apparently, which is what is happening in that clip.
Gross.
And in many clips, that's their relationship. The Heracross tries to eat Bulbasaur.
That is an HR nightmare.
And Bulbasaur is I'm not happy about it. So true or false, 103 brown flower beetles go into the height of a Heracross, the fictional height.
Oh, goodness, the fictional height of a Heracross. Those things are like the size of people, I think. I don't know how tall these things are.
If you look at the game data and it's just like Pikachu, which is like hip high on Ash. No, it's like knee high on Ash.
It's foot and a half tall.
Yeah, 6 inches tall.
I go by just like the size of the sprites in the game. It's like, oh wow, Nidoking takes up the whole screen. I don't know. Oh wait, well, how many?
103.
103 of these beetles go into the height of Heracross fictional thing.
And the beetles are 11 millimeters long.
That seems like not enough. I think the answer is false. I think Heracross is taller than 103 times 11 millimeters.
Final answer?
Wait, that would make it 1,000 millimeters, would make it about a meter tall. I'm actually going with true. I think this thing is like... almost 4 feet tall. True.
Final answer?
Final answer is true.
Correct answer is false. The Heracross is 4'11", almost 5 feet tall.
This is almost like as tall as a person. Just like the best ability that Heracross can get, I should have gone with my guts.
Well, let's talk about grub length. Or larval length. The length of grubs in the Cetaneae subfamily. I don't know what the grub length for this particular beetle is, but for the Cetaneae grub family, it's around 25 to 50 millimeters. Depending on the species. Some species have larvae that are larger than the adult beetles, which is something that can happen in larvae in general. Big caterpillars, small butterfly kind of thing.
Because the caterpillars spend their whole lives eating and the butterflies mate and die. So
yeah. Well, Gamer Grub was a performance snack mix formulated specifically for gamers, marketed as a cleaner, nutrient-enhanced alternative to traditional gaming snacks. Do you remember this?
No.
It was essentially a trail mix made of dry ingredients that have limited dust and oils on them that might get your hands dirty, which would get your controller dirty.
Oh, I see.
It was called Gamer Grub. And it was discontinued. Why? Well, one Redditor said it was intended for hardcore gamers and, quote, that's a group which usually has very little buying power. Good point. Basement dwellers aren't out buying.
They are buying snacks.
There are also a lot of people complaining about how, you know, it's called Gamer Grub and it looks like very, you know, it was like Halo era. Very, you know,
like Mountain
radical.
Dew.
Yeah. And people said it was condescending. I think that's a little bit just thinking too much like a Redditor. Just relax.
Somebody had an idea. It's like, hey, they were sitting next to somebody who was playing video games and constantly having to like suck on their fingers every time they ate a Dorito so that they could play the game. And they're like, you know what? There's a business opportunity here. And it ended up...
Yeah, it's a good idea. The problem is trail mix already exists.
But peanuts get all over your hands, too.
Peanuts are in Gamer Grub.
Okay, well, then that's where they made their their fatal mistake. Also, but here I think the main problem is, like, if I'm gonna eat like a mindless snack while playing a video game, like this particular demographic is probably not eating anything close to trail mix. I don't think just like a bunch of peanuts are like high on the list when there are Oreos.
I mean, there's like chocolate chips and stuff like that.
Yeah. Or again, or you could just buy a bag of chocolate chips and eat those. Like, that's what I would do. or a bag of Doritos or a bag of M&Ms. And it's like, I don't want raisins. Get these raisins out of here. Now I'm going to have to pick through my gamer grub. And this is taking
like a raisin.
This is taking my eyes off of the screen, which is unacceptable. This is betraying the whole purpose.
I don't think there's a raisin in Great Gamer Grub.
There better not be.
Okay. But it came in a handheld size single serving pack with patented tilt and tear and tilt technology. So you never have to put it in your hand.
Technology, that's about as far as you can stretch that word.
But true or false, 5 grubs go into the height of a bag of gamer grub.
5 grubs. It's 250 millimeters. What is that?
In 50 millimeters.
250 is 50 times 5.
I said 50 millimeters and then you said 250 millimeters.
Right. So I'm saying the bag 250 millimeters.
I thought you misheard me and you were like trying to convert.
I do want to convert. 250 millimeters is that bag sized. Sure. True.
Final answer?
Yes. Final answer.
Correct answer is false.
Oh.
The pack was 6 inches tall by 4.2 inches wide.
Now I want to look at this. And now I'm hungry. Look at that patented technology.
Tilt and tear?
Tilt and tear. S'mores
I
looks good.
I never liked that. I never liked tilting and tearing with any snacks. I want to savor. I don't want to just pour things in.
Yeah, the problem is, like, you have this looks really good, but it doesn't look better than what already exists.
You know what could be good gamer grub? Those koalas filled with like little like yogurt filling. Not yogurt, but like frosting.
What are you talking about?
I talk about this like every
Cadbury
6 months,
koalas
I feel like, on something like that. They're like an Asian
thing.
You
have mentioned these to me before, and they do look good.
Yeah, koala snack. They're dry to the touch, so they wouldn't get it. Koalas March is what they're called. I think I had them once when I was a child, and it became a core memory.
Yeah.
I don't know why I think about these all the time.
It's one of the 5 things that make up your personality and one of your personality islands and inside out.
They did Pokemon branding as well.
Anywho.
Anyway. Do you have any quick facts before we get into the major fact?
I do. So the brown flower beetle is found across much of Europe, including the UK, France, Germany, Scandinavia, parts of Eastern Europe as well. It prefers woodlands, forests, meadows, gardens, orchards, wherever flowers are. Adults eat nectar, pollen, sugary plant juices. So maybe they are delicious to eat. Their larvae hatch in decaying wood and rotting plant material, where they eat that stuff and recycle those nutrients back into the ecosystem. Mating usually occurs during the spring and summer months, where adults gather on flowering plants. I guess nothing says romance like a flower. They gather together when they're feeding, but they are not like, they're not eusocial insects like bees or ants. They are strong and noisy flyers that can zip around with surprising speed. They are sometimes mistaken for bees because of that. They, like most bugs around this size, they have lots of predators to look out for. Birds, spiders, lizards, small mammals, predatory insects. That's just... the beetle is really high on those, on their menus. Looks like beetle's back on the menu, boys. And its coloration gives it camouflage, a level of camouflage, not perfect, but it's got some pattern disruption that allows it to stay hidden. It is a fast and strong flyer. And it has a thick exoskeleton. But it doesn't have any, stingers or venom or anything like that. But most of its life cycle is spent as larva. Like a lot of bugs that go through these instars, they spend a whole lot of time as larva, and then they pupate, become adults, mate, and then die. That's kind of the whole shtick. But adults only live for a few weeks to a couple of months, and they can deploy. The fun fact is that they can deploy their wings from underneath their wing covers without fully opening them, so they can do like really quick takeoffs.
Nice.
And I'll leave it at that.
Okie dokie, I'm calling this major fact non-bee bumbling. The brown flower beetle is what is known as a flower chafer. I just realized the word is chafer. Chafe is spelled C-H-A-F-E-R. I mean, with no R. Chafe. E at the end. A flower chafer is a beetle that enjoys pollen. Beetle pollination is also known as cantharophily.
Okay.
In case you have that on your quiz. It's thought to be one of the... It's pollination before bees were pollinating. It is the primordial way of pollination. Beetle pollination. Flower chafers, like the brown flower beetle, belong to a lineage that has interacted with flowering plants long before bees figured it out.
They're from the order of Melchizedek.
Exactly.
Talk about a deep cut there.
Yeah. But just because you're the first to do it doesn't mean you're the best at doing it.
Like Google.
I guess.
They weren't the first, but they're the best.
Oh, I see. The beetle is not like Google. The bees are like Google. The
beetle
is... You are like Papa. They are called mess and soil pollinators, which is a colloquial nickname for certain pollinators, mostly beetles, that do transfer pollen, but do so clumsily in destructive ways and untidy. They're unrefined compared to bees and butterflies, which are gentle. And here's why. While they're pollinating, while they're going to eat the pollen, they might also chew through petals, eat some leaves, eat other parts of the flower. They often leave holes, bits of plant debris, and damage on the thing. Sometimes they'll even leave droppings in the flower.
So this is kind of like me asking my kids to help me unload the dishwasher. Like, they can do it, but it's there's going to be droppings. But
they're going to leave droppings.
There's going to be holes and droppings.
Yeah. Unlike bees, which actively collect pollen for the purpose of bringing somewhere and often have specialized structures to carry it, The brown flower beetle is simply a haphazard pollinator. It visits a flower mainly to feed on the pollen there and then, sometimes nectar, sometimes plant matter. As it crawls around inside the blossoms, pollen grains stick to hairs on its legs and its body. It does have some fuzz. It's got a fuzzy quality to it. And when it flies to another flower, some of the pollen rubs off onto the next plant. And that's what pollination is, but bees are just like, they have a body built for it.
Yeah, they are covered.
It's a little
in
bit
hair.
More haphazard. Yeah. Its body does have, some quote unquote hairs, fine chitin or whatever it is, which increases the surface area available for pollen to cling to, like the fuzz on a bee. But it isn't nearly as efficient as a honeybee or a bumblebee on a per-visit basis. But it can still transfer substantial amounts of pollen because it spends so much time moving around inside the flowers and going to the next one. So bee eyes are designed to find flowers, to see color, see a wide spectrum of colors. They have those... more sophisticated eyes. But research also shows that these beetles are capable of seeing some level of color vision, which is important for identifying flowers against, you know, a green plant backdrop while flying around in a meadow. But flower chafer beetles are supplemental to bees in terms of pollinating. They do provide a service that bees don't, though, which is they make plants tougher. Plants pollinated by beetles adapt to their rough ways by developing thick, leathery petals and leaves to withstand chewing. They have stronger scents, fruity, spicy, musky, fermented scents, rather than just relying on bright colors, because bright colors can attract bees, but beetles need a little bit more help in that regard. And they'll develop into bowl-shaped or open flowers that are easy to access. They don't need a long butterfly straw proboscis thing to get into it. They'll just develop an open flower.
So these are like an iron sharpens iron kind of thing. Like,
exactly right. Yeah.
Like, you know, break me down and then build me back up again.
Right. Magnolia, spice bush, and many what they call primitive flowering plants are beetle plants. So I guess they think more primitive, long-lasting flower designs or flower species are hardened to the beetle lifestyle, because that's who was pollinating them back in the aughts.
In the aughts.
In 2009. Nah, just, yeah. So that's it. I didn't know, I guess that there's nothing, why wouldn't this be the case? But I've never thought about beetles as pollinators.
I guess they wouldn't make very good, your average June bug wouldn't make very good pollinator because it doesn't have that those chitinous hairs, so nothing would stick to it.
They're also really bad at flying, it seems like.
Yeah, they like to fly directly into my open eyeball, so you know it's it's not really they're not Top Gun over here. But I have a lot of I have two magnolia trees in my house, so I will never mind. These guys live in Europe. Ugh.
These live in Australia.
Oh, well, I got that these guys live in across Europe.
Patron Rowan suggested it, saying he has seen it. So I'm pretty sure.
Is it this one or is it these chafer beetles?
Stolata is in.
Oh, is in
there? Is in Australia.
Oh, okay.
But the double if you look up Stolata, you will see the one where, you know, the European one's name as well. It must be very close.
Got it. Okay. So we just had the same ability, but just different species.
There, everything up to the family level is in this category. They look very similar. Some of them are green in the genus. Some of them are green. Some of them have a yellow stripe. But this brown one... let's see. The brown one that looks like chocolate. Where is that? That is in Australia. Yeah. So they're probably everywhere.
I like the idea that these plants are like, bring it on, beetles. Get these sissy bees out of the way. I grow through adversity. What pollinates me makes me stronger.
I endure, and enduring grows stronger.
What pollinates me makes me stronger. I don't know the rest of the song. All right. Do you have anything else?
That's all I got.
That was the brown flower beetle. For you out there in Podcastia, lap up that sugary nectar. Get your lady some flowers and become a clumsy part of the plant's reproductive cycle like the brown flower beetle here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans. I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us. Leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
Life, Death, and Taxonomy is my favorite in the world podcast.
Wiki page has the wiki page for Glycophana stolata has the binomial name Glycophana.